sacrileño, ¿verdad? ¿Sabes lo que?
Here we are again. By God's love and mercy, here we are again. I notice what our brother has placed here. Technology is increasing and improving all the time. In fact, in some areas, it's so far beyond me, I have no knowledge of some of the things that are going on. We continue tonight our study, Glimpses of Heaven, as shown to us by the overcomers in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Revelation 3 and verse 12. Promises to the overcomers. Glimpses of heaven. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. This we looked at last Sunday. Pillars, monuments. The next thought, he shall go no more out. He shall go no more out. That implies that it was a time when he went in. But we shall go no more out. John chapter 10, please. He shall go no more out. But there must have been a time when we went in. And the day is going to come when we're going to stop going out. And we're going to be in for all eternity. What a day of rejoicing that will be. We're all gathered in the Lord's presence forever with him. What a day. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The picture is that of a shepherd as he takes his sheep out and provides food for them. And when we go out, we are to provide food, spiritual food, for those on the outside. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by the spiritual bread, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And so, as we go out, we are to feed on the outside those in need with spiritual food. Spiritual bread. Now, what I want to do tonight is take some lessons from the priesthood of the Old Testament and then apply those lessons to ourselves. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me where? In the priest's office, verse 4. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, a girdle. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his son, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. And so the priests went in. But But the priests also went out. And we read that. There are several scriptures. We won't touch them all. The priests going out. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 8. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all these statutes. They went in, then they came out to teach and to instruct. First Peter, please. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Look, First Peter 2, verse 9. I realize that as I go from scripture to scripture, it takes a little while to find all these. But that's just, that's my habit. That's my way of studying the Bible. Here and there. And one thought adds to another. And you get a thought here. And you go there and you see that thought confirmed. That's my method, so bear with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. We are priests. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Book of the Revelation, chapter 1. We are priests. Book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Verse 6, he hath made us kings and priests, or better, a kingdom of priests. And as the Old Testament priests went in and came out, so we go in and come out. I hope you get the thought that I'm trying to develop. The Old Testament priests went in, and then they came out. We, as New Testament priests, go in, and then we go out. Where do we go in? Now, some time ago, our brother, David Anderson, gave us some diagrams of the tabernacle. You remember that? I hope you haven't destroyed them. I personally like to take all of these things and file them. And when you go home, look at that diagram, and you will notice that the priests went into the holy place. And there were certain things in the holy place. There was a table. And what does the table speak to us of? Fellowship with the Lord, feeding and eating. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As believer priests, we go in at the table. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither are ye able now. O beloved, are we feeding at the table? Let it not be said of us what is said here of the Corinthians. Hebrews chapter 5. As believer priests, we go into the holy place at the table. to feed. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Oh, beloved, where are we? At the table. Are we just drinking milk? How about a little solid food? Book of Ezekiel. When's the last time we looked in the book of Ezekiel? That's solid. Book of Daniel. Chapter 6 and all. That's solid food. The book of the Revelation. Chapter 5 and all. Are we feeding on solid food? Everyone that uses milk is undeveloped in the word of righteousness. Strong meat, solid food, belongs to them that are full age. The Old Testament priests went in and there was the table. We go into the holy place and feed on the word of God. And this is so important. Then in the holy place, remember, there was an altar. The altar of incense. Where the prayers of the saints, as we read in the book of the Revelation, go up to God. Where we read in the book of the Hebrews that we should come to the throne of grace to make need our wishes, our wants, to seek grace and to mercy. So the priests go in to eat. They go in to offer praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a third item there. The lampstand. And the lampstand is very interesting. And I'm not going to take time to go into the details. But you remember there was a lampstand. And then there were seven lamps. The book of the Revelation tells us that those seven lamps speak of the Holy Spirit. Not of seven spirits, but the Holy Spirit in His entirety. Now there's an interesting thing. The seven lamps gave light to the table. Gave light to the altar. But if you will read carefully in the book of Exodus, the seven lamps also gave light to the lampstand. What does that tell us? That apart from the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the things of God. And one reason why there is so much false teaching today is due to the fact that men and women are reading the Bible apart from the Spirit of God, and that's why they come up with wrong answers. There's one beautiful thing about the Bible. Who wrote it? Who wrote the Bible? The Spirit of God wrote it. Now, Shakespeare wrote some things. I remember going to a conference at the Great Hall in City College. And there was Professor Mott, a world authority on Shakespeare. And there was this professor from Columbia University, a world authority on Shakespeare. And they began to talk and talk, and they came to a point where they didn't agree. Both world authorities. And I said to myself, there is only one way to settle this matter. For Shakespeare to come out of his grave and come up there and tell exactly what he meant. But that's the beauty of the Bible. The one who wrote it, the Holy Spirit, is present right here and with us to tell us exactly what he means. And one reason that there is so much false doctrine and false teaching is that men and women have not been born of the Spirit. And they come up with incorrect ideas. So that we go in, but we also go out. And a few thoughts on going out. You pardon me. I have so many pages here. If you knew me, you'd know my habit. My daughter is after me at home because it, where I keep my books always appears confused. And I tell her, don't you touch those, I know where everyone is. They have meaning for me, confusing for her. We ought to go out. John 10:9. We have gone in as believer priests, and we are to go out. John 10. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and then out. Now we've been in the holy place, at the table, at the altar, at the lampstand. Now as believers, we go out. Matthew 28. What do we do when we go out? Well-known verse in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18-20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in earth, heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations, and so forth. We are to go out. Having gone in, we are to go out teaching. Just as the Old Testament priests taught, we are to teach all nations. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 9, a great door, and effectual, is open unto me. Or as one translation gives it, a wide door has been opened. We have been in, we are to go out. Second Corinthians, we read, we won't turn to it, we are ambassadors. We go out as ambassadors for Christ. Now what is an ambassador? He represents his home country. And what is our home? Where is our home country? Philippians chapter 3. We are citizens of heaven. So as we go out as ambassadors, we are to represent our home. Next, as we go out, when I like this one, Ephesians 4:1. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your calling. We ought to walk worthy of our calling. Now the Queen of England has visited us recently. We all saw her. Did she walk worthy of her calling? Incidentally, and this is by the way, you know what impressed me most with the Queen of England? The hats that she wore. She had a good supply of hats. But years ago, and I remember this very well, about 4 o'clock one afternoon, I was entering the office. And a girl about 10 or 12 came and grasped me by the arm and said, come and see my mother. My mother's sick. I said, well, all right. I have to go in and get my bag and things that I use. She came in with me. She wouldn't let me go. She took me to her mother. And I thank the Lord the problem was easily recognized and easily diagnosed and easily taken care of. I left instructions with an older sister. As I was leaving that apartment, just walking through the living room, I saw a lady. She said just a few words. Remember, I was walking through. And I said to myself, I don't know who she is, but she is somebody. Oh, the way she stood up. Her statue. The few words that I heard, I said, she is somebody. That evening, I turned on to the 10 o'clock news. And what do you think I heard? At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Queen of England addressed the Congress of the United States. Was she walking worthy? I didn't know who she was, but I said, she's somebody. What do they say about us? As ambassadors, as those who serve the Lord, what do they say about us? We are to walk worthy. We are to walk like believers. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. As we go out, 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believer. An example of the believer. They should be able to look at us and say, that's a believer. Has that never happened to you? One of the greatest compliments I have ever had in life. A patient came to me, an elderly lady. I saw her for the first time. You know what doctors do. They ask a lot of foolish questions. You know. Then they examine you, and then they tell you what they think, and they tell you what to do. As she was leaving, she said, Doctor, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes. Are you a Christian? I said, yes. She left, and for the next half hour, I was on my knee. We didn't talk about the scriptures. Somehow, she knew that I was a believer. Isn't that great? They should be able to tell us by our behavior, by our conduct, that we are children of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 9. 2 Kings 4, verse 9. Let's start at verse 8. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now verse 9. She said to her husband, behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. Isn't that wonderful? He just stopped in to eat a little. And she could tell that he was a holy man of God. Oh, beloved, what do they tell about her? What do our neighbors think of us? What do my neighbors think of me? I just wonder. She perceived that he was a holy man of God. John chapter 4. Well-known portion. Verse 19, John chapter 4, verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Sisters, you go to the market regularly, huh? What does the cashier think of you? What do our neighbors think of us? we read in 2 Corinthians that our neighbors are reading us. What do they read? We are to go in and then out. Do they read that we have been in? I don't see Rebecca here. I remember one time her dad said that she had a favorite hymn. And then at the end of the meeting, I said, Rebecca, I enjoyed your favorite hymn. And she said to me, that's not my favorite hymn. I said, what is it? She said, it's one of my favorite hymns. How many favorite hymns do you have? Let me read one of my favorite pieces of poetry. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel, we are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in word and deed. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? They read us. What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where they should not be walking? What if our tongues are speaking of things his lips would despise? How can we hope to help him and listen and hasten his return? They are reading us. Oh, I have another one here. There are so many of them. Oh, yes. My neighbor's Bible. Let me tell you a little story. A missionary to the Philippines. And he would preach, give out tracts, give out literature of various kinds. There was one man who wouldn't accept anything. And after the meeting, the missionary went over to this man and offered him a testament. The Filipino said, no, I don't need that. The mission said, why? The Filipino replied, if you are doing what that book says, I don't need to read the book, I just need to look at you. Does that make sense? They are reading us. I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he meets me in my home, tomorrow in the street. He may be relative or friend, or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, but he is reading me. Young folks, they're reading you at school. They're reading you at the workplace. Parents, your children are reading you. They're reading us. What do they read? We ought to go out with a message. And without a word being said, they should be able to tell that we belong to the Lord. I have another little copy here. I just came across this one today as I looked through the files. There are many Christians who are doing nothing, right? But there are no Christians who have nothing to do. What are you doing? Are you reflecting the beauty of the Lord? Can the people in your neighborhood tell he, she is a believer? They are reading us. I told you last time about the waitress in Detroit. I had never seen her. And I said to her, young lady, I'd like to ask you a question. She said, yes. What church do you go to? What assembly do you think she went to? The local assembly right there in Detroit. She didn't tell me that,
But something about her behavior told me this woman is a Christian. What do they say about us? Another time we went to Yosemite, they used to have a 10-day conference out there. My wife and I went, we knew nobody. And someone asked, I forget the name of the brother who was responsible for conducting things, how do we identify ourselves? And he said, if you want, you can take your Bible and hold it up as you walk. But I suggest that you just act like a Christian. And my wife and I went to lunch. Knew nobody. Sat down. Gave thanks for the food. And a lady came over and said, I noticed you gave thanks for the food. Are you with that group from the conference? Yes. Where do you live? New York City. How do you get around? We walk, we take the bus. She said, here's the key to my car. My car is right there. Use it whenever you want. She detected that we were believers. And they should be able to tell that we are believers. I've told you this before. At scientific meetings, that's where you're supposed to use your brain. Scientific meetings. And they always served alcohol. And I never alcohol depresses the higher centers. You go to a scientific meeting, you need your higher centers functioning. And oh, they would always tease me. Here comes Garnes. He only drinks water. Anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with drinking water? Our text says the time is going to come when we're going to go out no more. We're going to go out for the last time. John 14. Verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. We're going in now. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, my, my, my. Now, when we think of a mansion, we think of some big, elaborate building with fine fixtures. In New York City, there is the Vanderbilt Mansion. Oh, they have many wonderful displays. They have a Steinway piano. Now, what do you think they did with the piano? They gilded the piano in gold, but nobody plays the piano. Extravagance. That's a mansion as we think of it. In Toronto, there was another mansion that I visited. Another elaborate place. And you know, the most interesting room to me was the bathroom. You say, well, how could the bathroom be interesting? The owner of the house was a tall fellow, about 6'4" or 5". And he had a shower in his bathroom. He says so. What do you think came out of the shower openings? You say water. Oh, no. Out of his shower openings, perfume came out. My, my, my. I don't blame you for laughing. That's the world's concept of a mansion. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The mansions here are not places of extravagance. The word might be translated abiding places. Newberry translates it abodes. a residence, a place where you stay, a continuous dwelling. That's what the word mansion means. And when we go to heaven, the Lord has a mansion there for us. Not a fancy place, although if he makes it, it must look good. But a dwelling place, not noted for its extravagance, but noted for the fact that we're going to be there all eternity. And we're going to be with the Lord. I'm getting near the finish. What is it going to be like? We shall go out no more. We're going to be in heaven in eternal mansions. What is it going to be like? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. The fearful and the unbelieving. That's those would-be smart alecks out there. Oh, I don't believe the Lord. I don't believe that nonsense. The fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. They're not going to be there. They're not going to be in heaven. Verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where he's going to be up there. Aren't you glad you're going there? Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. How does that sound? That's where we are going. And if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you are going to hell. Yeah, that's right. You see, that's rough language, but it's Bible language. Last scripture, Luke chapter 15. We're not going to go out anymore. We're going in. Luke chapter 15. We know this story well, so we'll start in verse 20. He, that is the prodigal boy, arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his fingers. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and be merry. And be merry. Now you must read the next verse. This my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Now note, they began to be merry. They began to be merry. What does that suggest? Doesn't suggest that it ever stopped. They just started to be merry and kept on being merry for all eternity. That's where we're going. We're going to go in one day and we're not going to come out. We're going to be in heaven. What a place. No tears, no heartaches, no sickness, no pain, and no death.
People never get tired, they carry no burdens, and they never get old. Isn't that nice? No separation, no disappointments or goodbyes. Never say goodbye, never. No sin, no accidents, no cemeteries or funerals. No undertakers, morgues, crape on the doors, no one ever dies. How's that? That's where we're going. Do you feel the way I feel? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take me away from this place. Wars and rumors of wars. Every time you listen to the news, there's more war, more corruption, more killing. Oh my. Nothing ever spoils. Flowers never lose their fragrance. Leaves are always green. No thunderstorms, volcanoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, tidal waves, or tsunamis. How do you like that, people? How does it appeal to you? No germs. Wouldn't that be nice? No fever and no pestilence. The sun does not shine, but it is always light. Can you imagine that? It is never too hot or too cold. You won't need air conditioners, and you won't need heaters. No drunkards or immoral people. No illegitimate children. No prisons, jails, or reformatories. Doors have no locks and windows have no bars. How's that? Isn't that some place to live? I'm sure when you left your home this evening that you locked it. Up there, you need to lock anything. In those mansions that the Lord is preparing, you don't need any locks. No lustful books or pictures. No pornography. No taxes. How about that? Homeowners, no taxes. No rent. No war and bloodshed. No cripples, deformed, blind, deaf or dumb. No beggars. No disease. No hospitals or asylums. No doctors or lawyers. You won't need me up there. I'm going to be adoring the Lord. I'm not going to practice medicine. There'd be no need for it. No sociologists or marriage counselors. There'll never be crape on the door. No funeral train in the sky. No graves on the hillside of glory. For there we shall never die. We will be young forever, transformed in a moment of time. Immortal will stand in his likeness, the stars and the sun to outshine. We're going in one day. We're going in and we're not going to come out. How do you feel about it, beloved? Hymn number 624. I'm having trouble finding it. Thank you for that. Thanks, Father. When we all get to heaven, everybody in this audience going there? And if you're going there, how are you going to get there? Do you deserve to get there? Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. 624.